Hey, what's happening, everybody? It's the Birdman, Alex Bird, and you're listening to Chris Bumeter and Shane Presley with the Rock Paper Podcast. Good times are now in session.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, Episode 7. My name is Chris Bumeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and now YouTube, Rock Paper Podcast. Our guest this week is pretty much the one and only Alex Bird, Birdman. Alex, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Thanks for having me.
He is DJ of Rockin' Bird DJ. You can find him on Facebook, facebook.com/bird16, after the great immortal Brett Hull.
Yeah, gotta throw that 16 in there, man. It's part of my legacy, if you will.
Hey, so how's it going, man? How's DJing the DJ life?
Dude, DJing's going great. As I told you earlier, I had the weekend off, last weekend to enjoy the 4th of July. That was great, but I had a wedding 2 weeks ago in Perryville. Rocked it from start to finish. I got about 3 weddings left to go on this wedding season, but I've done about 7 so far.
Holy cow.
And yeah, it's been amazing, man. Everyone's been so happy, getting it together, prep, and then making it happen on the dance floor.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. There's too many words.
Bird did not only my wedding here, he's going to help LaShane yours too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was one of the biggest compliments we got out of our wedding. I mean, a lot of people are like, Chris and Jen, it's never going to work, but god damn it, that DJ was phenomenal. And the most common thing is when you bust out the House of Pain. And
yeah.
Not to spoil or anything for any future DJ, but like you just kind of use a rocket. Like,
yeah, well, I only do that when that's not an every wedding thing. I got to like really read the crowd and see what kind of crowd I'm dealing with here, make sure it's age appropriate. And if I'm feeling it, man, I'll get out there and I'll do it. And it's crazy how much that turns a wedding around.
It was a blast. And I said, there are so many people who are like, that DJ dude, he knows what he was doing. I'm like, it's his first time. He's never done it before. you definitely, like, you have molded your craft to, like, just kill it out there. And it's a blast. And it was one of the biggest, like, most fun that the wedding was is because of that.
Thank you, man. You know? Yeah, that's what I'm going for. And, you know, hearing that kind of feedback, that's what keeps me going. Keeps my motivation up, you know, to try to make the next wedding as best as the other. Doesn't always happen that way, but, you know, when I can keep those weddings up. I've been telling everybody this, and I don't know if I told you, but your wedding is the best one I've done.
Thank you.
And, like, the last 7 years. That is until...
Suck that shit!
That is until September 13th.
Man. Right.
This
guy's
wedding right over
there you
here.
Go. Got some competition. So, outside of, you know, you don't just do weddings. You also do, you do DJing at some local places. Where is it?
Yeah, it's in Cottleville. It's called Joe's Fifth Street Pub. It is... like the basement of Menino's Meat Market. It's a pretty famous meat market. It's on the corner of Route Inn and Highway Inn, between O'Fallon and St. Peter's. Yeah, I'm there Saturday nights, 9 to 12:30 now, doing karaoke from like start to finish. And hopefully trying to get in there Friday nights too, but right now it's just a Saturday thing.
I think me and you did karaoke a long time ago with Vanessa. We did 311, I think, is the song we did. Do you remember that down in like, it was off of 94?
Yeah, it was that was the Pine Room.
Yeah,
that was the first place I got started 7 years ago.
Oh, yeah, and yeah. Like, I remember us going there, and it was just me, you, and I think it was Vanessa, and I think her friend.
Tim came up there.
Yeah.
We had, I think Thomas with us a few times, too. Tom Newcomb.
Might have been, yeah.
And, I didn't have quite a selection back then. It was just a DVD player that I was playing some CDs in. I had a 5-disc changer also that Tim just gave me. And about maybe 200 karaoke songs, and that's it.
Yeah.
So not that much at all. And I really owed a lot of it to Dennis Bricky. He's the guy who trained me how to do it.
Yeah.
He's got his own DJ business. He worked for another guy. He kind of took me under his wing. He's like my Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's what I call him, the Obi-Wan Kenobi of karaoke.
Did he get killed by Vader? Like, he's still alive, right?
He
hasn't made to that movie
He looks a little whiter than usual from time to time with a little glow around him, but he's still rocking those shows, man. And
gets a lot of weird stares.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on, man?
So I had him to help me out and loan me a lot of equipment, which I eventually paid him for. And a lady does my hair. Kim Perkins, she owns Cuts and Color off Mexico Road.
Mm-hmm. She does good work.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've been sick with her for over a decade. She does a lot, man. She's got her cut and color business. She's got a photography business. She's going to be doing photography at my wedding. Yeah, she does a lot. And she is also the lead singer of a cover band.
Oh.
So she had speakers and stands, microphones that you know, she just let me use and I paid her for it, whenever. So yeah. I really owe a lot to those two for getting that going. And my dad, you know, he was the one that helped me get it going, setting it up.
I remember you guys kind of doing stuff together. And
yeah, I said, dude, you know, this is a big step for me. I mean, this is something I want to try and make a living out of doing, and I kind of don't want to go in it alone.
Right.
So if you could just come with me and help me get this going, because him and I, we jammed out to a lot of, like, 80s and 90s classics.
Yeah.
And, you know, we took it to karaoke bars, doing it, you know, out in public when we weren't behind the table.
Mm.
So it was cool to just start that with him and actually be behind the table.
Yeah.
Kind of took some of the edge off.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Because, yeah, it seems like you've been doing it for quite some time. And
7 years next week.
Yeah. After, like I said, after our wedding. Like, I knew just because, you know, we played in the band Decipher back in high school.
Decipher, which is
another band that obviously could have gone straight to the top. But it was just, you know, you always had that, like, you love to kind of perform, you know. And you had that charisma and that just...
It's fun. I mean, my voice isn't the best, I don't think. It really just depends on what bands, what style of genre I think I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's so weird, you know, I'm so into rock, you know, Rock and Bird.
Yeah.
I'm so into rock and roll, I've been my whole life, but I'm a much better rapper than I am on the mic, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was a blast, for sure.
Thanks.
One of the things that me and you have really kind of built on, like, had a good relationship is wrestling, and
yes,
you know, we've done WrestleMania parties, and you normally host
Royal Rumble. Yeah,
are we doing it again for next year Royal Rumble?
Yeah, I still got to get the network and all that jazz. Oh, but yeah. I mean, after the wedding, I'm pretty sure I'm going to purchase it.
Yeah, do you follow wrestling still pretty heavily? Or
yeah, I mean, I don't tune into SmackDown or anything like that, but I do watch. Yeah, that's like a rerun of Raw. That's like a rerun of Raw.
If it's not live, I'm not going to watch it.
No. But I do watch Raw for about an hour live every Monday. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just the rest of it, get DVR. Because on Monday, my fiance, she's got a balloon business.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, she makes animal balloons. So she's out at Culver's or Chick-fil-A, you know, doing something. And then, so I get the house to myself. And I'm like, sweet. And, you know, I'm going to turn on Raw, watch for about an hour. And then she comes home, and she's like, is this what we're watching? I'm like, oh, man, come on.
See, Jen, I've established now that she knows it's Monday night. She's like, oh, Chris is going to watch Raw. And Ricky will get into it, too, and just kind of watch. He's got the yes chant down, you know, so he'll do the yes chant. But, like, she starts to get into it, too, and she thinks it's funny, especially when the girls wrestle. And I can't remember who it was. She was like, she hates AJ Lee. You know,
she's crazy,
and I'm like, she's like the best wrestler, but she's like, I think she likes maybe the Bellas, and I think she likes the who's the guy with Fandango, or the girl with Fandango, Summer Rae.
Oh, it's Layla now.
Yeah. But when it was Summer Rae, she's really pretty. But she started watching Total Divas a little bit, and
that's what it was for me. I mean, Erica, she did not like. That's my fiance, Erica. She did not like wrestling when I finally admitted to her, hey, I'm a wrestling fan. I usually wait till about a year in the relationship, then I say, okay, I gotta tell you something.
You sit down and you go to a nice dinner.
What? Yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
I'm a wrestling fan. That's it?
My mother said never marry one.
No, I can't date you now. No, but like, it was tough for her because, like, during the Attitude Era, you know, when Mick Foley was all big with Mr. Socko and everything, her brother was so diehard into it, he would, like, take the sock off his foot, literally. And just shoving her mouth whenever she was doing homework or something.
Yeah.
So that's why she wasn't a huge fan.
She was scarred from a younger age.
Yeah, it was a terrible experience right there. Yeah. So,
what do you think of, like, the product now? Like, because I know, like, just recently John Cena won the belt, and a lot of people are, like, tired of John Cena.
Yeah.
I was a big CM Punk fan, and he's gone. I don't know if he's ever going to come back, which bums me out. But what's your kind of view? Like, obviously, I don't think it's come close to what the Attitude Era was. And nobody's going to be able to touch that. But
it's a whole new different show. It's a whole new different audience now. To be honest with you, with me being a wrestling fan pretty much my whole life, it's going back and forth on me. Like, I know I'm still going to tune in, you know, but Triple H and Stephanie, I think, are running it a lot different than Vince did.
Yeah.
You know, and this whole best for business thing, I think they're running that over the line too much. I think they played around with Daniel Bryan way too long for him to get a shot. I mean, I'm glad he had his WrestleMania moment. Obviously, we all knew that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he had his WrestleMania moment. That was cool. But, you know, look at him. He's off on the sidelines with a neck injury.
Yeah.
And they get the belt back to Cena. I got respect for Cena. He does a lot, and he loves what he does.
Yeah.
I kind of wish he would... No, I really wish, actually, he'd go back to being the Doctor of Thugonomics, because I think that would draw the fans back to him.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of people are waiting for that heel turn, and I don't think
I don't think that heel turn's coming. I think he can be that person that people love loved him as in the first place, the Dr. Thugonomics. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just, I'm just waiting for that music to come out, like,
yeah. Right.
That's his old thug self.
Yeah.
And then the people will go crazy and they'll be like, welcome back or something. Right, you know?
Have something. Now, Shane, you used to watch, you said on another episode that you were watching kind of during like the Attitude, like the WCW, NWA, or NWA days.
Yeah.
Can't talk. NWO days. Goodness.
Yeah, I grew up watching Nitro and all that stuff. And I don't know. I lost interest in it. And like a lot of, like I used to watch a lot of basketball and stuff too. And yeah. I lost interest in that. And like just
once Jordan left, I stopped watching basketball.
But I used to love some of the stuff, and then it started getting for a while. They're just too much. The stories were getting too far stretched out, and
yeah.
I don't know.
I like
it's still it's still entertaining, you know.
The WWE Network, and I missed it. It was just I think after Monday's Raw, they had like a WWE like the Monday Night Wars documentary thing they were going to show. And I wish I would have seen it, but like I love watching the stuff about those two when they're going at it, and you know what WCW do to NWO to WWE, you know, to compete, and like that's one of the things that's kind of a shame now is because you have TNA wrestling, which is really just it seems kind of like it's just barely hanging on now.
I thought that was going to dominate. So back in like 2010, they had some killer storylines. They had almost every amazing talent involved. You know, like I was watching their big change when Hulk Hogan came in and took over. So somewhere in 2010. And
yeah,
they had Jeff Hardy and Ric Flair and all these other old legends coming in and all these new teams. It was amazing. I'm like, WWE's in trouble.
Yeah,
like I actually tuned out of WWE throughout to the end of 2010, most of 2011. I didn't really get back into it until like right before the Royal Rumble because of 2012 because I heard they were coming to St. Louis. And I'm like, okay, I'm not missing that. I want to know what's going on.
Yeah,
get caught up. So that's when I got back to WWE. It took like a whole year off just to watch TNA. And it was an amazing year right then. But kind of got out of watching TNA about, I want to say, somewhere in 2012.
Yeah.
Getting back into WWE. And plus, TNA, they change their storylines around a lot.
That's what I've heard is a lot of stuff. Like, they'll just jump from, like, week to week.
It's like they can't make up their mind. They don't know what direction to
continuity.
Go.
Continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to watch TNA, and I was hoping, because, like they say, the best way to, you know, increase or better a product is with competition. And right now, WWE's just blowing it out of the water. And TNA, I think they're just in trouble financially, and they just don't know what, they can't get a stable ground to where to build off of. And like you said, when they were kind of earlier on, they really seem like they could be challenging WWE, but now I mean, they don't have the talent base that the WWE does.
No.
And I think I saw a teaser that Sting may be coming back to WWE.
That's been a rumor, yeah. Like, I kept hearing he was supposed to make an appearance at WrestleMania.
Oh,
I don't know what happened to that or what the delay is. Maybe he'll be back next WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, I mean, that would be cool. Even though Sting's been saying for years he'll never work for McMahon because he didn't like the way that McMahon, you know, made superstars. He made a lot of those WCW guys
look
like pansies. Like, take Perry Saturn, for example. Oh. You know, he comes in, he's with the Radicals, he's all badass, and then they make him hit his head and carry around a mop for, like, the rest of his career in that WWE ring.
Yeah.
And that's just terrible, man. Yeah. So I can see where he's coming from right there, but I think it's time he come back.
Yeah.
Or come to where he kind of originated from. I know that's WCW, which is now owned by WWE.
Yeah.
They can make something happen for him, I think.
Yeah, that's the stuff I loved was Sting and Luger and Goldberg and DDP. And like, I mean, that's the era that I grew up loving, and all those characters.
I think that was like the prime almost, because like people are going to say, like, you know, the early WrestleMania is when it was Hogan and stuff like that, but like, when you had those two companies battling, I mean, they were pushing the envelope each week, and it was really fun to watch. And I wish I would have, like, realized I appreciate it more then than, like, you know, looking back on it, you kind of see what it was.
Yeah.
But, I agree.
It was fun, too, right? That all that time whenever they started the Outsiders with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. That was, I mean, all that stuff when they crossed over and, like, and they started the NWO Red and White and all that. Like, that was good television.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was good. Now, do you have, like, with it being a newer roster, is there anybody you wish would come back that would make like a return that could still probably do it? You know, is there any guys that you're like, God, I just wish?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, Christian is my number one.
Oh yeah,
you know, favorite right now on the roster. He keeps getting hurt. I think it sucks. You know, one concussion after another. The guy hasn't competed in WrestleMania since 26.
Yeah,
and he hasn't competed in a Royal Rumble since 2005. So I mean, that sucks right there. And every time you think he's gonna make that comeback and finally get that title match, he's hurt again.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to get online and read articles about him, when he's coming back, how he's doing, and there's a lot of people saying, you know, he might just be better off throwing in the towel.
Yeah.
Because his body just probably can't take it anymore. I'm like, oh, I don't want to give up on that just yet.
Right. Now, yeah. Are you somebody who gets on and reads, like, the dirt sheets and stuff, like, to see? Because I'm really bad about it. I wish I didn't read it, because, like, it ruins the surprise.
I don't even get on. I don't do too much research,
yeah,
you know, beyond the WWE website itself, unless it's somebody I really am curious about, you know, like Christian.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only superstar I try to search for outside the box to see what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm bad about it, and I just wish I didn't. Because, like, now it seems a lot like the fans are kind of on it, too. Like, when Brock Lesnar came back to face Cena a year ago or whatever it was, and, like, he was standing there doing his promo, and the fans were chanting for Lesnar because they know he's coming out. And it's, like, it's kind of to an era now where you can't keep anything a secret.
No.
Like, I think they kept the Jericho thing, his return, just recently. I don't think I...
I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah, that was kind of... I think everybody thought it was going to be The Miz, which he came out, and then the curveball there, and then AJ Lee coming back on the same show. That was a good Raw,
well,
you know.
But they released a lot of people,
yeah,
recently, you know, like Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre, Brodus Clay, you know, yeah, a whole bunch of guys you just saw in, like, Main Event and Superstars, you,
yeah,
know. So they're probably thinking about bringing some old faces back, and that's a wise move, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You let a lot of people go, you gotta bring in some new talent. Obviously, you got Rusev, you got what's his name, Adam Rose,
oh yeah,
Bo Dallas, who, yeah, I think it's kind of cool if they stop making him such a flake.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I love that the guy represents, you know, inspiration, but they're just using them the wrong way, and I kind of, yeah, hope they turn that around, because that's weak.
What was your thought, and I'm just curious, on, like, the Undertaker streak ending? Were you glad to see it, or were you not?
I was shocked. Honestly, I was shocked. My jaw dropped just like everyone, yeah, else in that arena, you know? Did not see that coming, but after thinking about it, I kind of think they're setting him up for retirement.
Yeah.
And which, you know, the guy's earned it. The guy's done so much in his career, and in his business. The first match I ever saw my whole life, it had him in it.
Oh,
he wasn't the Undertaker yet, but it had him in it. Yeah, yeah. So I've been watching this guy since, you know, beyond 1989, 1990. So,
yeah.
Yeah, if it's time for him to throw in the towel, it's time.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm predicting. Like, Lesnar, I know they haven't announced this on Raw yet, but supposedly he's got a title shot at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be facing Cena. That's, I guess, will probably be the main event. Lesnar beats Cena. Lesnar's the champion for a while. You know, just have it back on him for a little while. Then Undertaker seeks redemption at Survivor Series, which is going to be held here in STL.
Oh, is it?
And then, yeah. And then Undertaker destroys him,
yeah,
wins the title one more time, and goes out.
Yeah.
And then it may be vacant again. That's the way I would do it if I was writing that stuff.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a cool way for him to go out, to have his career end where it began at Survivor Series, and to go out with the gold.
Yeah, I think
one last time.
The logic that kind of people were using with Lesnar ending it, because a lot of people were like, he shouldn't have been the one to end Undertaker's streak. But, like, I know, yeah, a couple years before that, they tried to get this match happening after a Brock Lesnar fight. Taker was there, and he's like, you want to do this? And kind of stepped away. But I think it was, like, the idea that in a it's all scripted, but in a sense of reality, that there's no way Undertaker could legitimately beat an MMA champion,
no,
you would think, at his age.
No,
maybe. I mean,
early
on his prime. And I think that's kind of what they're like, this is probably why we need to...
Let's be realistic
here,
yeah,
streak, you know. And Brock Lesnar, man, he seems rough when he fights. Like, he makes it... He's the only wrestler I've watched. I'm like, they really look like they're actually fighting, you know. When him and Cena were going, like, Cena came out with, like, a bloody lip and stuff. I was like, good lord, these guys are...
You see Lesnar's, like, face... He gets so red, it looks like he's about,
yeah,
to explode.
Yeah, he's
every time.
I was blown away when we were at Raw 1000 and, yeah, he came out, and just seeing how big that guy is. Like,
oh, yeah, we were like in the middle bowl, and,
yeah,
that dude's like all the way down there, but he's big
just,
as hell.
I couldn't believe how monstrous he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those guys are just freaks, man. They're just,
yeah,
giant athletes. And yeah.
I heard someone say that they sat on the same airplane as Batista, and he needed, like, his own little aisle there.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Because the dude's so huge.
Yeah, some of those guys are just, like, nuts.
Like 6 feet wide.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All muscle. So we were talking a little bit before we started the show. You went and saw 311 this week when we had Steve Ewing on two episodes ago. Shane, did you go see 311 too? I saw it. Yeah, you were there. Where
we were actually sitting together for like the beginning of 311. What happened to you, man? You never came back.
Oh, I actually left.
Oh,
jeez.
He was there for the Urge, I could tell. He's a big Urge fan.
Yeah, I'm definitely more an Urge fan. And I don't know. Like, I mean, in my personal preference, it's tough for anybody to follow the Urge. They bring so much energy to the stage, and you know, even if it is 311, it's still tough for them to match that level. I mean, they put on a great, fine show. Like, it's just not my personal taste. I'm not a big 311 fan. So I ended up going to another show. Actually, I went to two other shows.
Jesus.
Dude.
He goes to more shows than I can. Show bounce. Like, man. It's crazy.
I went to, I caught Jeremiah Johnson at the Moonshine Blues Bar, which was right across the street there and off 5th Street. And then I went to catch Wade Trent in Cottleville, so I was supporting him too.
Cool.
So, but yeah, the 311 and the Urge sounded great that night.
They brought their A game. Yeah, it's like Fandango said at the beginning, they get better and better each time.
Yeah.
I saw them a couple Novembers ago. They were amazing, and yeah, they rocked it even harder this time. And
yeah,
I'm like, oh, 311 brought their A game, you know, because the last time I saw them, it was 2012, 2 years ago, and I was kind of disappointed by them. You know, it was like my 6th or 7th 311 show, so I'm used to seeing them, always pumped for it. But that night, it was a Tuesday night. So I don't think it was as packed as it normally would be, like on a weekend. And they did a lot of their mellow stuff. And it seemed, the time on stage for them seemed a lot shorter than it normally is.
Yeah.
But this time was different. They played a lot more of their upbeat hits. You know, I'm jumping around like a little kid. When 311 is coming up, I'm like, man, I don't care how bad my knees get when I get older, I'm still jumping to this shit.
You're gonna jump while you can, man.
Yeah.
Jeez, I heard it was an amazing show, but.
Yeah, no, it was,
great. As I walked away to the parking lot and everything, I could hear All Mixed Up, and that sounded pretty good. But
I love that song live.
For me, like, I'm a casual fan of 311. Like, I know the hits, but I don't know anything really, anything that wasn't really radio hit. And so some of the stuff they were playing in the beginning, I just kind of lost interest in, and I like it. So I was just like, I'm going to go over here and check this show out. So
there's a lot of fans, I think, that got bored by their performance through like the middle part of their session this year, because they did, of course, they had their new album released last March, came out 311 day, March 11th.
Yeah.
So they did like half of that CD, and a lot of it was mellow stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what I think, a lot of people just weren't really hip to that.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard one of their new hits on the radio.
Yeah.
Like that CD's, there's this one song called Five Everything on that new Stereolithic CD that I think is definitely more than radio worthy.
Yeah.
But they're not playing it, and they're not playing any of that other stuff, so I'm like, nobody really knows it that well.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think, I read a article the other day, it may have just been today actually, talking about Chester Bennington from Linkin Park saying how like there should be no like outdoor big venue concerts, like they should all be playing like indoors. Like, would you rather go to an indoor, like a more intimate, like say the Pageant, or do you kind of prefer?
Dude, I love Horizon.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go anywhere at the lawn, you know, you hang out with your friends. They were launching off fireworks right after 311. You can get that in the Pageant, man.
Yeah,
the fireworks show.
You could try, but they're probably being newer.
Yeah, fire.
I've been to tons of shows at the Pageant, and then might not get true fireworks, but you get there's some pretty cool pyrotechnic stuff that they can do in there.
Really?
I mean, I've only been to a couple pageant shows. They didn't have the pyrotechnics going on. Right. I mean, the Pageant is cool though.
I'm just curious, yeah, because it's got the difference of like you kind of have an advantage of the big, you know, the Verizon type arena, not arena, but you know, same where you can get tons of more people and stuff, or you got that more kind of intimate where it's pageant and you're crammed in and you're right there. Which if you can buy pit tickets to like the Verizon, you
just
know,
mosh your way to the front row.
Yeah, I was just curious if it takes away, if you'd prefer, like if you could see 311 at Verizon or at the Pageant, would you have a preference of?
I'd pick Verizon honestly. Yeah. Those summer shows are amazing.
Yeah,
you know, and I have such a great time there. And I mean, not just them. My first concert ever was at the Verizon.
Yeah,
I saw Van Halen with my dad back in 1994. And that was the best time ever. I mean, I briefly remember I was like 7 or 8 years old, but what I do remember, it was being an amazing night.
Yeah.
So just lots of good memories.
There's something cool too about like, especially if it's a nice night and just sitting out on the lawn.
Oh yeah,
and,
for sure.
Know, you're hearing live music and just kind of surroundings. You're not in a
the hot Point sweat. Fests are perfect. Yeah. That's a perfect place for that. You know, you can have like 3 concerts going on at one time.
Right.
You know, so that's another thing I love about that place.
I haven't been to Point Fest in a long time.
Yeah.
First show I remember at Verizon was some kind of like Z107 Summerfest kind of thing. I don't even remember the whole lineup at all, but the moment that sticks in my memory is we were in the lawn, and this was like probably like 97, 98, I imagine, because Sugar Ray was there, and they had Fly on there, and that was, so there's this guy in the lawn, he's got a joint in his mouth, and he's sitting here, he's got his arms like spread out, and he's like singing Fly to us, and he's like, hey man, I'm fly.
There's like, always one of those guys.
So really real to me, man.
And at like whatever, I don't know, 14 or something, then I just cracked up, and like I thought that was one of the funniest things I've seen at Verizon there. But I'm the complete opposite of what you just said about Verizon, because I really can't stand it there. I go for about Point Fest, and that's about it. Like depending on the lineup, like. But being as many shows as I've gone to, and like these small clubs, and being the intimate setting where I can interact with my favorite fan or band and everything like that.
Yeah.
Like, though that you can't get that at Verizon. Like the Point Fest is about as close as they get, because a lot of those people, like the hot table set up, and you can come and maybe meet and greet and get an autograph or something sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, you know, when 311 was done, it's not like you could go over there and meet.
No,
you know,
it's like they get on their bus and get out. I feel like that's
and,
how it is.
And I, as a fan, like I love being able to hang out and interact with my favorite band and stuff like when they're all done. And
yeah.
You guys are just going to have to fight to the death for your different sure. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Well, Shane's got a good point, The indoors, the easier access to talking to the band. You know, that's... I'm totally agreeing on that.
Just, I think it's a mix and match.
Like I said, that's just me. I'm like, I love that. I love, you know, I mean, anybody that follows me on Facebook and stuff, they see my pictures with people I like. I like that. I got to get my CDs and records signed. I like, you know, just talking about music and things like that. And it is just like that, you don't get that experience at those big shows, or even at Savas or anything else, like these big arenas. And
you know,
you get it at the Pageant and some of the, you know, off Broadway is another great club I go to. It's just like, I love that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, the best concert I've ever been to was not at the Pageant nor Verizon Wireless. It was at the Scott Trade, and it was Green Day 2009, man. Best show I've ever been to. I mean, I saw Green Day a couple times beforehand, but they played like over an hour of the old school hits.
Who were they with, anybody? I went to see Green Day at Scott Trade, but I can't remember. I think it was maybe before that.
I think mine was
like 05 or 06 or something.
Is that band that sings Take Me Out, whoever that is. I can't remember.
Franz Ferdinand?
Yeah. That's it, yeah. They opened up for them.
Yeah, I think I went before that, like 2000.
I like This Fire. That one's a good one.
Oh, by Franz Ferdinand?
Yeah.
Let's see, the Take Me Out. That's the only one I know.
This fire is out of control.
Yeah.
Well, you've been a big Green Day fan, too, for...
Oh, yeah, since, like, long. You know, the mid-90s. Yeah. I wasn't really big on them when they came out. I didn't really listen to them, but once I heard Dookie, you know, I was in, you know. Like, I grew up under 80s rock, Def Leppard, Van Halen kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what my dad was always playing on my ear, and I still love that stuff. But when I was at my buddy's house, and he just played Dookie, I'm like, whoa, dude, my mind's just been blown.
Yeah.
And I love when I come around to the day I die. That's always going to be one of my faves, and I've never seen anyone light a crowd up more than Billy Joe Armstrong. I don't think anyone could top him, honestly.
Yeah, they put on a great show.
He's amazing.
Did you check out that like folk album he did?
Mm-mm.
A little bit ago? He did a album with Nora Jones. I think it was Nora Jones. Pretty sure.
It's Britney Spears.
Yeah, Britney Spears.
Spears. Oh, baby.
But yeah, it was the two of them. It was like, it was weird. I didn't get into it at all. Like, it was... Yeah, it's definitely not the same Billy Joel. Like, he, you know, I'm used to him screaming and jumping around and all this stuff. And it was like a totally, like, an acoustic album kind of thing, like that folk vibe to it. And just, totally different side of him.
I want to see him in that American Idiot musical. I mean, that came to St. Louis. I wish I could have seen that.
Have you seen Broadway? I think it's called Broadway Idiot. It's a documentary on making that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's awesome. It was on HBO or Showtime or something like a month ago. I watched it, and it's really cool because it goes from like the start of them getting that together and performing these songs in front of Green Day, you know, and their variations of it, and then they ultimately, you know, Billy Joe actually started, he played St. Jimmy in one of the shows, you know, whatever, but it was awesome, and, like, I've listened to that soundtrack, and some of the song variations they do of, like, 21 Guns, and just some of them, the way they do them are, like, awesome, and you're almost like, this sounds really a lot prettier than, like, the Green Day version. Obviously, it's a different one, but it's, I would love to go see that, too, that Broadway
show. Oh, yeah, if it ever comes back, if they do another tour of it, I'm in.
Yeah.
Especially if Billy Joe's gonna be the lead, like he was for, like, the second half of that tour.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool documentary if you get a chance. I think it's called Broadway Idiot.
I'll definitely plan on checking it out at some point.
Kind of similar. So I know wrestling music, since I've known you, have been huge. There's one other thing, it's movies. And, like, you are a freaking movie buff. And, like, if there's any like, quote movies, we were just quoting Wayne's World before we started. Like, what's your top three favorite movies of all time?
Oh, boy, that's like the question of questions right there, man.
How did Howington put it? If you're stuck on an island,
I'd have to take Back to the Future with me.
I didn't even notice you have Back to the Future.
Yeah, I'm rocking the Back to the Future shirt right now. If I had the option to turn my basement into like a man cave of my choice, it'd be Back to the Future themed.
Yeah,
I'd make my my mantle a clock tower if I had the that'd possibility.
Be freaking awesome.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, I'm a Back to the Future nerd more than a Star Wars nerd.
Yeah,
you know, just a little bit. Sin City, went to go see it 3 times. That movie grabbed me, like, within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I can honestly take that. And there's this comedy that my dad introduced me to. It was the first rated R movie I watched from start to finish. A comedy from the mid-90s with John Travolta and Danny DeVito. It's called Get Shorty.
Oh, yeah.
I laughed my ass off through that whole thing, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not probably big with a lot of people in our generation. You know, we're just, like, little kids back then, but being my first rated R movie, I can pretty much quote that, and I'll laugh just thinking about it, you know?
You were a big Clerks fan, too, weren't you?
Yeah, I was big on...
I feel like that was one that I remember you really...
Throughout all high school, I definitely went through a big Jay and Silent Bob phase.
Yeah. You know,
ever since I saw Clerks in 2000, and then right after that, I saw Mallrats, and that's where I was sold, because I thought that was the funniest. I saw Jay...
Yeah,
and Silent Bob, and I'm like, dude, I want to be like Jay, man. Bro. Walk around and be like, Noochie Noochies, Brody Noochies. You know, doing that. I would quote him every day, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
What is happening to me, man?
They were trying to make a Clerks 3, and I think they just...
And I hope they do.
I heard they just not canceled it, but I guess Kevin Smith had raised, like, $6 million, and then the production, like, wine scenes... I don't know, TMZ obviously is where you get your information. I think they said that they wouldn't back it because there's either too much or what it was, but I'm sure he could get on Kickstarter, I'm sure, and make a Clerks 3.
Oh, yeah. A Clerks 2, I think, is the best James Bond movie altogether, if I had to choose one of the six.
I love Strike Back. I mean,
I
was watching it, too. It was,
you see, that was funny, but I felt like the humor was just too easy.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you watch the other movies... His writing, you know, the dialogue, it digs down deeper, and you really gotta listen for, like, the political incorrectness, for the humor, you know? Like, in Clerks, it's like listening to Woody and Rizzuto, you know? It's like, oh my god, did they really just say that, you know?
Right.
You know?
One thing I like about Strike Back is I like how Ben Affleck can kind of make fun of himself. And
That's always cool.
Yeah, you know, I just enjoy when guys can go in there and kind of, like, bag on their you know, real personas.
Well, that was the whole movie. Like, the whole movie was a rip on itself, the whole, you know, like, mm-hmm. There's the line he says, they're really going to make a Jay and Silent Bob movie? Like, you know, who the fuck's going to pay to watch that?
Yeah.
You know, like, that whole thing, like, there's the goof on it.
Seems like one of those lines where they'd say it and they'd look right at the camera. Mm-hmm. You know, as if, like, looking, reach out to the audience. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think who, like, Spaceballs, I think, would do that, where they're like,
yeah.
So you can go back in time and watch this, right. And they'd turn and look at the cameras, like, acknowledging.
That was great. I feel like that's what started it all, was that particular moment right there.
Yeah.
Self-awareness.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mel Brooks can. We were talking about that too. Mel Brooks is just phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's my favorite.
I've got the Mel Brooks box, man. Like, I got a Robin Hood Men in Tights, Young Frankenstein, Spaceballs, History of the World,
Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, Blazing Saddles, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's just it's a classic. All of them are just so good.
Yeah. And, what do you think of, like, movies being kind of remade? It seems like a lot of movies are coming back. And, like, do you think, like, Hollywood just run out of ideas to...
Like the WWE, man. It's, like, back and forth. Just rehashing. You know, like, I think Bad News Bears, that was a big mistake.
Yeah.
I think Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, that was a big mistake.
Yeah. You know? Every time Jen mentions, hey, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, then I'm like, which one? The old one. I'm like, okay, let's watch it. But if it's the new one, I'm like, I'm not even going to give it time. So just, I don't know. It's too weird, too.
Yeah.
There's nothing about it. But there's some people who are like, I love it. It's awesome. But it seems like, have you seen any movies lately, like, theaters? Have you seen Godzilla or anything?
I went to go see Godzilla, yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Without spoiling it?
It was fantastic, man. I watched it in 3D. Yeah, if it's in 3D, I'm definitely going to pay that extra cash to go see it that way.
Yeah.
Because it's like a 2-3 hour long roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know, and there's this one part where, like, not spoiling nothing, but this one part, I got my 3D glasses on, and it's all foggy and shit in the city, and Godzilla's just, like, slowly coming through.
Yeah.
And he gets clearer and clearer, and he's, like, coming at you, and you're like, holy shit!
I've only seen one 3D movie, I think it was Avatar, because it's so expensive. Like, how much, do you remember how much it was to see it in 3D?
To Avatar? Oh, no, I had no interest in seeing it. I didn't see it until, like, years after it hit DVD, honestly.
But, like, Godzilla, do you remember how much it was to see that in 3D?
Oh, shoot, like...
That's like $9 I think, to see a movie now.
It was like 12.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah,
it's
3D is like usually like $3 or $4 more, something like that.
Yeah.
It's cool, like, I guess for what I've seen. We have our TV's 3D, but I've never really sat and tried and watch. I think I played Call of Duty in 3D and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
You're playing games in 3D now?
Call of Duty is the only one I played, but I was like, it was like messing me up. Like, so I just like, you know.
Well, we've got
too crazy
3D and television also, and like, I think I prefer that, like, than the theater, because, well, one, it's just cool sitting on your couch and watching it, like, but we got, you know, I got the only thing that stinks, when I bought it, you had to go get, like, 3D HDMI cables and everything, you know, like, had to go, like, replace, like, literally everything.
So do you have to wear glasses to watch it here?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how ours is, too, but, like, we bought it from some shady chick on Craigslist.
But, I mean, like, I got Avengers on Blu-ray and, you know, stuff like that, and those action movies are just killer, and with a 3D, like, it's just coming at you.
Just need to buy some Blu-rays and just watch them in 3D and see, because I can't remember the movie we watched. If we even did on 3D on the TV, but like, I don't know, it seems kind of gimmicky, but at the same time, like, I think it's gotten better technology to where it really kind of doesn't feel like it takes away from the experience and you're like enhancing it and can enjoy it.
They're doing like stuff that's shot in 3D, and then there's some movies that are doing like post production 3D, and then like it's not the same. Like, I mean, when they're shooting in 3D, like, that's the stuff you want to see, like, that's the one that's really good. And then the movies that are know what they're doing, they're obviously doing that.
There are some just shitty movie, and I can't think of what it was, but I remember being in 3D, and I remember watching it. It was on, like, HBO or something, and I was just watching it regular. And, like, they're throwing, like, eggs at the screen, like, specifically, just, like, it was just so legitimately...
Harold and Kumar, the 3D one?
That's what it was! And maybe it wasn't a shitty movie, I don't know, but I
thought that was cool, man. I saw that in 3D,
Well, see, I wasn't watching it in 3D, but I was like, sometimes you can tell it's like, this had to have been in 3D because it's...
Oh, yeah.
Like, the way they're shooting it, and, like, the way the scene set up, you're like,
that was a great
thing. Where are you going? Maybe just because I wasn't in 3D, that's probably why.
That scene was definitely meant to be seen in 3D, because that egg went right through the screen. It was crazy. I was literally reaching out for it.
I don't have, this has got to be in 3D, because I don't have glasses on, and you can tell that's what they're trying to do. But I don't know, I think it's cool, and like, but I don't know about like the whole gaming thing in 3D, and I think sometimes it's gimmicky and sometimes it's probably like the Avengers. Like, the ones, it seems like everything's in 3D. And I don't even know isn't there like another, like a different variation of 3D that they say? It's like in 4D. I don't know what it is, but it seems like, I don't even know how you can get more than 3D. But I don't know. But I haven't been to a movie in so long.
Right.
The last movie I saw was that George Clooney one, the
Dependence. Don't say Monument Man.
No. It was, I think, Dependence or something. I think me and Jen saw it like... It was like it's got the girl from that Secret Life show.
Is that the one where his wife died?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
She was in like boating accident or something. But like we saw that like a week or two before we had Ricky.
Spoiler,
like,
guys.
Oh crap, my bad.
It's
how many Clooney fans we know.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Dependence, his wife may or may not die, but she probably does. Maybe.
Oh boy.
Because I don't know. Generally,
I forget there's a microphone in front of me.
Yeah.
Millions
of people are like, oh, George Clooney's gonna call us later. Like, thanks for spoiling my 3-year-old movie.
Oops.
2-year-old.
No, you can come to the pub and bitch at me. I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
I went to see Transformers last week.
Was that good? I haven't gotten to Transformers. Yeah. The first one I tried to watch, I don't know.
Like, I mean, first one's fun because it's the original.
Yeah.
2 and 3, I started getting bored with. Stacey loves them, so I watch them all, but, you know, it's 3 hours of the same stuff after a while.
Like, I've heard 2, and I won't spoil it because I know how it ends, but it's just like freaking people are like, what, at the end of that one? And that's like people just trashed it, but I won't say what happens because I don't want to spoil any more movies.
But 4, I felt was sort of a fresh take on it, being that they scrapped the entire cast and they got like Mark Wahlberg's family in there.
Marky
now.
Mark.
Yeah. And no Funky Bunch, though. So,
damn it.
Yeah.
Damn. I want some good vibrations.
The Funky Bunch of Trons.
Speaking of Marky Mark, a little side note.
Segway!
Yeah. Just a funny story popped in my head. Years ago, there on SNL, Adam Sandler used to do Marky Mark. I don't think he did a whole lot, but I remember there was a moment, and he, his impression would just be, he was like on some kind of talk show, and he stood up, and he just pulls down his pants, and he's wearing like the white boxers, and he's like, yeah, come on, and it was one of my favorite moments. And I remember one night I was hanging out at Jeremy Melton's house, and he like did like the like risky business thing or whatever, kind of slid into the room, and he's like, yeah, come on. And like, I was like eating, I was eating like Twizzlers, and I started like choking because I started laughing so hard, and like. So anyway, there's a little side story for
good
you.
Good little Marky Mark. He's gonna be like, don't tell that story. Why you ruined me?
But. Anyway, so Transformers 4, though, I thought was fun. Like, it did feel long. It's like 2 hours and 45 minutes, so you're sitting here watching it, and you're just like, man, this is, you know, really starting to feel like...
Can I get out of here now?
Yeah. What's the deal? And then, like, the big moment, like, in the previews, is they show Dinobots.
Yeah.
And so everybody's, like, you know, hyped about this because it's the first time they've introduced that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it doesn't happen until, like, the last, like, 20 minutes.
I just saw in the preview that he's riding a dinosaur. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? I don't know what, and I don't know to be a Transformers fan.
Those are the Transformers I watch more than the vehicles or the dinosaur, the Beast Wars.
Oh yeah.
I was way more into that show than I was the average.
It was like a CGI cartoon type thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had that. You had that other show, Reboot.
Yeah.
You know, the animation was so amazing. Like, oh my god, this is like a whole new thing.
Yeah.
Couldn't look away.
I think the next movie that I'm probably going to see in theaters by far is going to be TMNT, the Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm in for that.
That's the one movie. Because, like, when I think of a movie coming out in theater, like, I haven't gotten pumped for a movie, and I don't even remember the last time. Like, I've thought of movies, like, oh, that looks really good. Like, Godzilla I thought looked really good, but I just didn't, you know, it's just so expensive to get there. But I want to see it when it comes out on Blu-ray or something. I probably will. But, like,
oh, yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
Ninja Turtles, like, and it's just because that was my joint, freaking Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers.
It's all part of our past, man.
I'm excited, and I just, people are like, they look so weird and stupid, but I'm gonna give that one a chance, and I think that's probably gonna be the one movie this year I go to see in theaters is Ninja Turtles.
They do look different, like bigger than ever.
Yeah,
I know that Michael Bay probably changed the story around a little bit, and that's what got fans like mega pissed in the beginning. Like, this was going around about 2 or 3 years ago, saying that Michael Bay was going to be behind the Turtles and how he's going to change the story around and make them aliens.
Yeah, well, and I don't know. I've never read the original comics, but it sounds like they're kind of closer to that. But, like, I don't know. At first, I was like, God, it's just all going to be CGI. But at least it looks a little better than what I was expecting. But I just, you know, coming from the original movies, you know, in the 90s, like, I enjoyed that. Like, that was the first and second one were awesome.
I love how that animated one they released in 06 picked up from those three movies that they made, you know? I was like, oh, man, I hope they keep doing this. This works for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm hoping it's awesome and they make a couple more. Like, but I think people are like, Michael Bay is just going to transform the shit out of that.
He's in the driver's seat now, and I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. We'll find out.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, from the trailers, I'm pretty excited about it. I haven't been excited for a movie to go see in the theaters in a long time. But again, there's that nostalgia and that, like, my childhood and Ninja Turtles. So
That movie's going to make some huge bank.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
You guys ever watch the Honest Trailers on YouTube at all?
I don't think so.
Honest Trailers.
It's just the Screen Junkies is the channel, and these guys are all just super movie nerds. They about all kinds of stuff, like, but they do like different segments. And one of my favorites is Honest Trailers, and they take audience suggested movies, and then it runs like a real trailer, but they always just tell you like. Pointing out all like the obvious stuff and like make funny at all.
Yeah, did they do it with Forrest Gump?
Yeah, they did. They've done like everything. Like they did Forrest Gump. They've done Dark Knight and like and they just basically and then what's always funny like at the end they always kind of make a goof on it too. Like starring and it's always like you know they make fun of all the characters. Like if there's a hot chick with you know there was always starring boobs and like kind of stuff like that and but one of my favorites is they were starting to. I watched Transformers 2 with Michael Bay, and they were talking about how much, like, pointed out how much he, like, cuts from other movies he's done, like, recycles all this stuff. Like, even in Transformers 2, like, they show that he, like, used the exact same shot, like, at 18 minute mark and then, like, at the 2 hour mark. And it's like, it's the. And then he even. They said, like, I think it might have been in Transformers 3 that he. Brought a shot from
The Matrix.
It was the island that he directed, and he used the same scene from the island in Transformers 3, and he just added Transformers to it. And it's like,
I wish I could do that. Just,
I mean, yeah,
I'm just gonna add some Transformers to this.
So, I mean, like, the guy's done crazy, you know, hits and like every, you know, but it's just like it start to realize there's. It's like the same formula kind of thing. I mean, all he does is blow everything up.
Just like huge explosions. And that's what kind of turned me off with Transformers. I just couldn't tell what's going on. Especially, like, because like, I didn't see this anyone's after the first one. But the first one, like, the fight scene, I was like, there's just stuff going on. I don't know what's happening. Well, like, I don't know who this is.
Or that's one of the jokes. Like, there was a scene in the Transformers 2 thing with the Honest Trailer. Like, there's all this going on. And, like, they're like, what's going on? You know, that's exactly what they say. It's just like, it's too much happening, and it gets confusing to follow.
Sometimes it's a relief just to have, like, those movies that aren't huge, giant, like, action blow-up craziness. Yeah. Like, it's kind of when there's really story, and it's dramatic and just it's fun to watch. But
I had to watch that from the front row.
Oh my
Transformers. That was bad because my friends wanted to go on opening day.
Oh yeah,
which I think was Independence Day several years back, and the theater was packed, nowhere to sit. We had to separate.
Yeah,
and I had no choice but to go to the front row.
Right,
and I'm like, how can I still see after that?
Yeah. I'd love to go see Ninja Turtles on opening night.
Yeah,
but just depending, probably like Friday.
Or hopefully it's not just too over the top. And, I do like that. There's the line that in the trailer that he kind of jokes about that they look different, like when she's like,
"Oh yeah,"
and he's like, "Oh, I don't have my mask on or something."
Yeah,
like
it's just a mask. Yeah, it's just a mask. Yeah. He takes it off. I watched the new animated one on it's like Nickelodeon or something, and that's actually it's not too bad.
Jason Biggs.
Yeah, but they actually in one of the episodes they're looking through all these different portals, and you see him reference the old Ninja Turtle ones, and like we look so weird. Like April, look at that yellow jumpsuit and stuff like that. It was kind of funny, but I like how they sometimes reference a different kind of cross universe in a way. But I don't know. That's one show that I've always just Ninja Turtles.
You guys see the new trailer that came out a little bit ago, where they introduced Shredder. And you can see some Splinter also in it.
Yeah, yeah. He shoots out like 17,000 different spikes out of his hands. Like he's super Shredder to the max looking.
So I never thought that dude would play Shredder.
Kevin.
The sheriff or whatever he was. The head guard from Longest Yard.
Oh, yeah.
I keep forgetting his name. But he also had that smoke bomb in his mouth at the beginning of Dark Knight.
Yeah, I know,
never thought him to play Shredder. I think more like... I think Batista would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be... I'm hoping it's going to be good. That's one of the movies that if it's... it could be shitty and I wouldn't care. Just kind of go, well, I'd go watch it. You know, even people are like, oh, don't see it. I'd still be like, it's Ninja Turtles. That's what I want to see. But I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it's not too horrible.
Yeah.
So there's one thing, Bird, before we let you go that I want to do, and I've seen this on Facebook like crazy.
Oh, boy.
It's the bitch test. Have you seen this? The bitch test.
No.
Okay. Every female, it seems like, on Facebook has posted how big of a bitch they are. It gives you a percentage.
All right.
So I thought it would be fun to have you go through this test, and let's just see if you're a large bitch. I don't think you are, but I'm curious to see.
See if I'm a bitch.
A bitch.
That's a huge bitch.
So, bitch. You know, like somebody posted here, I'm 58% bitchy. In other words, I am a balanced bitch. That's, and it shows for some reason that. So, we're going to go through the questions.
It's got a picture of Belle on there.
Yeah, I don't know. Belle seemed pretty cool. So, we're going to go through these questions. I don't know how many questions. There's probably like 75 questions. So, this could be like a 3-hour long podcast. But, so, we'll go through the answers and we'll just see what you get.
Okay.
So, the first question is, have you ever bitched out a little kid for being a brat? Yes or no?
Man, it's tough. I think, yeah, I did one time. All right. Probably my little brother.
All right. Let's see. Have you ever bitched out a telemarketer for disturbing your peace?
Yes.
Yes. Not looking good, man. That's too.
That's all right.
Have you ever bitched out a pet for being naughty?
No.
No?
No. Okay, so I don't think I've ever done that.
Not 100%, so I'll tell you.
Well, my dad was allergic. I didn't really have any pets in the house.
How often do you bitch about traffic in your town? All the time, at least once a week, sometimes, or never?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, all right.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about it. I got my music.
There you go. How often do you bitch about stupid people in your life? All the time, at least once a week, sometimes, never?
At least once a week. you got to vent.
All right. You go to a crowded local restaurant, and a server seats you. After perusing the menu for a while, you and your party are ready to order, but your waitress is nowhere in sight. 10 minutes pass before you decide to wait another 10 minutes. You begin bitching about the service to your friends, or you start looking for the manager.
Looking for the manager.
Right.
No, I'm pretty mellow when it comes to restaurants.
And you used to work at a, what was the place
called? Oh, yeah, Bristol. So probably, yeah, Bristol, yeah, I know how they feel.
Yeah.
I know what happens behind the curtain.
All right, you take your young child to a playground, hypothetically. If you don't have children, imagine babysitting for a friend. Another child pushes your child while his mother stands by and says nothing. You ignore it and explain that your child sometimes life isn't fair. Gently reprimand the little boy who pushed your child. Yell at the boy, if his mom won't do it, then you will. Or scold the mother for being a terrible parent.
Let me see that. You totally lost me a little bit through there.
Gotta give you some long answers.
If you don't have children, imagine babysitting another child pushing. Oh, another child pushes your child. Okay, yeah, that's
so
right.
It's on now. It's on.
Ooh. shoot, I don't know.
The fate
gently reprimand the little child who push your child.
That one? All right.
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
Sounds like pretty
I'm not ready for these parenting questions yet, man. Yeah.
All right. Oh, man, another one. Number 8. Your flight has been delayed, and you find yourself in an airport bar, furiously texting your heart out when a boring-looking stranger interrupts you and asks to join you. You get sucked into yet another boring conversation, find an excuse to leave the bar, gently reject the stranger, letting him or her know that you're not in the mood to talk, or you tell the stranger straight up that they are already boring you.
I just look for an excuse to get out of there. I don't want to be a douche.
Find an excuse to leave the bar. Number 9, you're next in line at the convenience store when an old lady walks straight to the cash register, essentially cutting you off. You let the old lady go first because she's old, try to make eye contact with the clerk and hope he sorts it out for you, calmly say, excuse me, there is a line, or chew her up and spit her out, no cutting.
I let her go.
Let her go.
Old women don't taste good.
She's old. She's old. She doesn't know what's happening. She thinks she's at Red Robin.
Yeah.
All right, sir. You are 54% bitchy.
So I'm balanced.
You're a balanced bitch.
All right, I'll take that.
Well done.
You want to be in the middle, man.
You don't easily get
even
upset.
Even strength.
You don't easily get upset, but you're not a pushover either. You are living in perfect balance. In
yes.
The world.
Hey.
Well done.
I'll take that.
Well done. Now we have to share it now. Apparently, I've shared on Facebook, but I won't.
Don't let my fiance take that test. Right. No, I'm
kidding. I've only seen women do it, so you may be the first person who took it, the first man. So, congratulations.
No, I'm honored.
I'm sure there's plenty of guys taking it, just not sharing.
I
wonder how much of a man I am now after that.
On my way home, I'm going to take it back. Oh, God, I didn't know I was 89% bitch.
They'll not call me the bird man after this. They'll be like, right. Bird bitch.
Bird bitch.
Bird bitch.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Well. We'll wrap up. Anything else? Do you want? Are you DJing anywhere?
I'm back at the pub this Saturday. That's Joe's Fifth Street Pub. It's in Cottleville. They do have a Facebook page. That's Joe JO'S Fifth Street Pub in Cottleville. I'll be there from 9 to 12:30. Music, karaoke, anything on demand. About over 750,000 karaoke songs to choose from.
Holy cow.
Yeah, my library is growing. Big time.
I'd say so.
It's pregnant and so on.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, we got a great following up there, man. I mean, the Knights have always been, like, hit or miss overall, but lately, there's been these new young crowds coming out on Saturday nights having a great time singing a whole bunch of stuff and requesting nothing but good jams. You know, I'm all about playing stuff on there, man. The bartenders are great too.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on out. It's an awesome time.
Awesome. So then,
you got a go to karaoke song? What's your
A go to karaoke song? Actually a song I do every night for like the past couple years, ever since MCA died. Paul Revere by the Beastie Boys. Oh. Gets that place going. I usually do it about midpoint, halfway through the night. Usually when the crowd's like at its best, when everyone's in there having a good time, getting their buzz on, that's when I'll bust that out, and that place comes alive.
Do you do it all in bird voice, or do you do all three Beastie Boy voices?
I do it all in my voice. If my brother's there, my brother Sean, him and I do like almost every Beastie Boy selection that I have.
Yeah.
You know, we bounce that stuff off each other so well because, you know, I got the stuff at home. We can practice.
Right.
You know, but I do that. That's probably the only Beastie song I can do by myself. So I will do it just in my own voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I got my headphones on and it comes on, like I do my best MCA and Ed Rock and
Mike. Oh yeah, I'll be trying to sound like him too.
Yeah.
Yeah, my name is MCA and stuff like that. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, no, Paul Revere definitely gets the people going, and I was a big MCA fan. I mean, when me and my brother do the Beastie Boys, I'm the one that's always doing MCA. So when he died, that was like a huge, huge mind blow for me.
Yeah,
for everybody.
Yeah, I'm just totally devastated that I never got to see those guys live.
Me too.
Man, it's never gonna happen now.
I know. Yeah, I don't know if they plan on touring or replacing them or what, but yeah, I could go live and be like, it's just not the same.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it'd be hard to try and recreate.
Yeah.
So I like to do that song every night, not just, you know, for me, for fun, to get the crowd amped up, but I like to do it in his honor,
because
that's a huge music thing
for
me, you know, that MCA thing.
I remember doing No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Going
to band practice and just jamming that song out too. So
No Sleep Till Brooklyn, some Good Charlotte.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites when we rocked the Little Things.
Yeah. Those are good old days.
Yeah.
So you can go to facebook.com/bird16. Book him for your wedding or just to DJ freaking just awesome events because you're a killer, man.
Weddings, graduation parties, birthday parties, a little bit of everything. So
there you go. Childbirths.
He's gonna DJ. Yeah, why not?
He's gonna DJ. You know, when we have our little girl, it's gonna be awesome.
We're excited for it. We got bird back.
Play Barbie girl. Play Barbie girl when she comes out.
Yeah, right. It'll be set. So good dude. Well, thanks for coming on, man. It was a blast talking with you.
Pleasure's right here, man.
As always.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Great guy. Good DJ service, and he just kills at weddings. So, if you're fun. If you suck, then this is just your own fault.
Need your guys' help. Help me get this, you know.
Yeah, if you don't have a good time, he'll make it happen. If you don't, then you're just a boring person. You're probably going to get divorced in a year. So that's what I'm like looking at Shane. I'm not talking about Shane. I'm just saying in general. I'm just looking at the cabinet behind me. Yeah. So, sweet. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Wrap up this episode of Rock Paper Podcast. Remember, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So long. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.